You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers again from Maranatha International, the church of worship, the word and healing. I greet you. It's an extraordinary day because we serve an extraordinary God. Before we get into the Word of God, I want to just pray. I just want to thank you for listening and for staying tuned to this time, because I believe there's some relevant information that's going to be spoken to you to help grow you as an individual, as a person, that will become matured in your prayer, matured in your spiritual walk with God. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you. We praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Father God, we declare and decree, Lord God, that you are gracious, you're merciful, you're kind, you're wonderful. Father God, we declare, Lord God, that you are our El Elyon, you are the Most High God. And Father God, we declare now, God, but also, your God, you are our Rabboni. You are the one that teaches us, Lord God, that instructs us in the night season. You're the one that gives us your word. You said that the entrance of your word, it gives light. Now, God, I pray, Lord God, for your faithful people, Lord God, that are listening. Pray, Lord God, Father God, first of all, for your anointing to go forth, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, the apparatus, or the heavy weight of the burden that enemy has placed upon us. We declare now, God, in the name of Jesus, that the airwaves are free, Father God, for revelatory knowledge, information, Lord God, to come forth. We thank you, Father God, for the logos of your word, but also, God, we thank you for the rhema of your word. We bless you now, God. And you said, in your word, Lord God, Father God, there's peace in your word, Lord God. There is favor in your word, Lord God. There is grace, Father God, in everything that we need. We bless you, Father. We give you the glory. We also lift up, Lord God, the people, Lord God, of the Bahamas, Father God, that your grace, Lord God, will rest upon them. That in a time, Lord God, of rebuilding, Father God, you will undergird them, Lord God, and let them know that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them. We pray for them right now, God, and we thank you, Father God, for that supernatural favor to rebuild and to become then to bounce back stronger than they were before. We love you. We appreciate you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen and amen. Well, once again, I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to say that I love you. I really do. And I look forward to this time where we can spend and talk about the Word of God. We've been talking about teach me how to pray. I believe that one of the spiritual activities that's really lacking in the body of Christ is the fact that we don't pray. You know, God has given us the ability to come to him and to communicate with him and to have communion with him. But we don't pray. You know, a lot of times we see things happening in our lives is because of a lack of prayer. God says, I want to be engaged and I want to be a part of your life. I want to move in a miraculous way in your family, in your children, in your community, on your job, in your business, but you don't give me an opportunity to do that. And I believe that, as for me, I know prayer has been an instrumental blessing in my life, where I can come to God and not only come to God just to ask him for stuff, but also to know that we are praying his will. I said, Father, what's on your heart? What do you want to accomplish today? When we look at, for instance, prayer, we have to look at the author. The Word of God says that Jesus is the author and the finisher for our faith. So anything that you want to glean or you want to extract in that subject matter, we look to Jesus. That's the reason why the disciples went to Jesus, and when they saw him praying, they says, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? We want to be effective, just like what James declared, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you a model. I'm going to show you how to pray. And as they begin to start praying, then they begin to start seeing dynamic results in their lives. And I want to see dynamic results in your life. So if you have a means of, you know, a notepad or whatever it is, write these scriptures down. Go back over them again. Now, like I said, we look at Jesus. When we look at Jesus now, we look at how he prayed, when he prayed, how he prayed. First of all, we notice that he gets up early in the morning. Why does he get up early in the morning? Because the early in the morning is the tithe of that day. It's the first part of that day. And that day, that morning is crucial to the rest of the day, because whatever happens in that first part of the day, it sets a tone for the rest of the day. In other words, what you're doing is that you literally have the ability to program your day. How your day is going to come out. How your day is going to go. Is it going to go where it's just frustration, disappointment after disappointment, or are you going to go through a day where it's just victory after victory after victory? We see that with Joshua. First of all, God says, sit down and look at this word. Meditate in this word. Do that first. And then you will have good success. Then your day will go right. Your weeks will go right. When you go to Ai, when you go to Jericho, you will have the victory. So what we've been doing is that we've been talking about not only prayer, but also the obstacles of prayer. And I believe that a lot of times we are frustrated because we don't see the results. Therefore, we conclude that maybe God is not listening to me. Don't he see my needs? See, God is not necessarily moved by needs. He's moved by faith. God is a faith God. If we look at him closely, the scripture says, I believe in Romans chapter 4, verses 20, around 22, it says, he calls those things which be not as though they were. Even when we see when Genesis unfolds and it opens up with God looking over a void and a land that was void and it was just chaos. And then he used his faith to now speak to that situation and command that light to come. And then light came, and then we see how that transgressed. So just listen real quick here. Is there something that's pressing on your need right now? Is there something that you're saying, God, you've been really believing for? You've been praying for a spouse. A spouse may be in the hospital right now, and they're just struggling. They may have days to live. Or you may be in a situation where you're in a financial predicament and you says, Lord, if I don't get this money at this time, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Or you may have a daughter or you have a son that may be just going through some situation where they seem to be intact and they've been just having a rough time. I understand. Some of us may have a mortgage that you need a payment for, or a rent. You don't have the sufficient money to pay your rent. I understand. I want us to now look to the Lord, or look to the Word of God. The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with what? Yes. All our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So when it comes to prayer, we see, like for instance, let's look at James. James chapter 1, verses 5. James said, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let me ask the question now, what are you lacking? If any of you lacks wisdom, first of all, let him ask of God. In other words, let him pray. Let him offer a petition to God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we are assured that you have a problem, you have a situation, you're lacking, in this case, is wisdom. Come to God and you ask God. No problem with that. We understand that God is a liberal God. He says, I will give you more than enough. That scripture says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. But a point I wanted you to catch is what it says in the next verse here. He says, for he who, but it says, but let him ask in faith. Let him who? The person who is lacking in wisdom, who's asking for wisdom, let that person ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So we see here that there are obstacles. There are obstacles that may be blocking. They're in the way of our receiving what God has for us. And I talked about some of those obstacles in the past, and I'm just going to go over them again. And hopefully we'll get a chance to get through all of them. The first obstacle or the first hindrance is doubt. The second hindrance is fear. The third hindrance is unbelief. So we actually had a chance to go over the first one, which is what? Yes, doubt. Now, when we look at this word doubt, James just talked about this, that if we have doubt while we're praying, there is going to be a hindrance or stop or blockage for God answering us. I was reading a scripture, for instance, over in Mark 11 and 22 to 24. It says, have the faith of God. He says, verily I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou what? Cast into the sea. And do not what? Yes. Doubt in your heart. But believe those things which you say will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. So doubt is very important because God is a faith God. And God operates by faith. He doesn't operate by emotions. We jump on the ground and we'll cry. It says, Lord, please, just help me. Please, please, Lord, you know my condition. And God is saying, where is your faith? I'm looking for faith. You know, so God is a faith God. We have to establish that. So now let's kind of review a little bit about what we talked about doubt. The doubt comes from a word, aporia. We talked about the fact that when you see the word A or the letter A, it means without. So aporia. So A means without. Now the porio comes from the word poros, P-O-R-O-S, which means a way or a transit. So when you put the A and the porio together, it means to be without a way. See that? So doubt means a without a way. Second word that describes doubt is diakrino. It means to make no distinction. It means to waver. It means to stagger. It means lack of faith. It means weakness of faith. Diakrino. And we also have distazo. Distazo, it means D-I-S means, this in me, it means double, and the stasis means a standing. So when you look at those, it means a double standing. In other words, to stand in two ways. So when you're in doubt, you're at a crossroad. Which way shall I go? And we gave an example with Peter when he stepped out of the boat. He was walking towards Jesus, and he had one way. He had his eye on Jesus, which represents the word. He was his eyes on the word. He is walking by faith and not by sight. But guess what? After a while, he started to have another option. The winds begin to start speaking to him. The waters begin to start speaking to him. And say, hey, we're going to blow you down. You're going to drown. And he begins to start listening to both sides. Then he came to a standstill and said, wait a minute. Which way shall I go? Distazo. Stand in two ways. You catch that? I hope you are. So we see here that doubt is a hindrance, and we have to remove doubt. We have to move doubt from our prayers. When we're praying for something, we are believing absolutely it will come to pass. You know that God is an absolute God. When you see, like, for instance, when you read the word of God, you don't hear be like, maybe, or I wonder if, or I'm not sure. No, if you listen closely, when God speaks, he says, shall. Like, for instance, when we look at Isaiah chapter 55, for the word shall not return unto me void. It shall go forth and accomplish what I pleases and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. All right. The second thing we talked about was fear. Fear is another hindrance. Fear. Think about it. There are a lot of things you right now, you wanted to open up that business. You wanted to go and get your degrees. You wanted to do certain things, not just in the natural, but also spiritually. You wanted to do some things. But then fear comes and says, you can't do this. And fear stops in the way. Fear says, it's a confidence in what could go wrong. When we look at the acronym for fear, it's false evidence appearing real. Okay? But in 1 Peter 5 and 8, we talked about the fact that it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who is also called the false accuser or the slanderer, he goes as a roaring lion. In other words, he moves in the realm of fear, and he exudes fear to cripple us, to not allow us to walk and to move forward. He goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? Yes, he may devour. We also describe the fact that fear is a spirit, because in 2 Timothy 1 and 6 it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And how do we tackle and come against fear? It tells us right in the scripture, with power. Power speaks, comes from the word dunamis, where you get the word dynamite. That's through the word of God. But it also talks about love. Love. Love cancel fear. I believe the word of God says there is no fear in love. Let me say that again. There is no fear in love. Because love turns out fear out of the doors and expels it from every trace of terror. The fact is that God is love. When God shows up, fear has to go. So that's the reason how we remove fear is by walking in love. You know, walking in love, loving God, loving those that are around us, and allowing God to now expand inside of you through love. So those are the review of the two hindrances that we talked about. But today I want to just introduce, I know my time is running really quickly here, so I have to now kind of pick up the pace here. The third hindrance is unbelief. Unbelief. You remember I said before that God is a God of faith? When we talk of faith, faith speaks of trust. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, it says, faith is the substance, the substance. Substance speaks of the support, all right, the support. When you look at a chair, you go to sit down on a chair. You don't flip the chair over and check the screws before you sit down. No, you know that the chair is going to what? Support you, support your weight. That's what substance is. Faith is the substance, the support of things hope for. What do you mean by hope? It speaks of expectation. What are you expecting? If you expect nothing, don't be surprised if you don't get anything. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things for my family. I'm expecting great things for the church. I'm expecting great things for the people in this ministry, that these people in this ministry will grow and then mature spiritually, physically, financially, be well off in all areas. That's what I'm expecting. All right, let's go back again. Faith is the what? Yes, the substance, the support of things for expectation, and the evidence of what? Things not seen. So we see here that God is a faith God. Faith speaks of trust. Faith speaks of being confident in what God has. Now, unbelief now comes on the other side. It's the antithesis of faith. Two words actually describe this word, unbelief. And you don't want to have unbelief in your prayer. You can't be praying in unbelief. So I'm just going to utter these words, and if it happens, it happens. I know it's not going to happen because it never happened before. So I'm just going to pray and just utter these words, and maybe it will happen. No. Unbelief. Let's look at the words. Apatheia. You remember we talked about the letter A, what it means? It means what? Yes. Without. Without. So apatheia. We have a, And then we have patheia. Patheia speaks of obedience. So apatheia speaks of without obedience or disobedience. Apatheia, disobedience. That's the first word for unbelief. The second word is apistia. Apistia. We know the word pistis means faith. Apistius means without faith. In other words, it means a distrust. A distrust. I don't believe you. When I was looking at the word apathy and I went even deeper to the root word of that word, he said, Pastor, why are you throwing all these words at me? I want you to have understanding. Because the scripture says that the people perish because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. The reason why you're in the predicament that you are right now is because of a lack of understanding in that area. The reason why you're lacking funds is because of a lack of understanding. If someone was to come up to you and say, hey, are you tithing? He says, but Pastor, am I supposed to tithe? Yes, you're supposed to tithe. Before the law, Abraham, the scripture says that Abraham tithed. Even going back to the garden of the garden of Eden, God placed a tree that he says, don't touch this tree. Don't touch the tithe, the tenth of this garden. And what happened? He ate the tithe. And that's the reason why we have holes in our pockets. Funds is always running out because we do not honor God with our tithes. I don't know who that was for, but someone needed to hear that. And if you want to get more information, I want you to call me or I can talk a little bit more about that. Now, let's go back to now this unbelief. Unbelief, we come with two words, apatheia, and the second word was apistia. Now, when I was looking at this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, I had to look at this closer because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Because it refers to unbelief as the evil heart of unbelief. It calls unbelief evil. Because when I go back to, when I was going back to the root word of apatheia, that word comes from a word apatheos, which means unpersuadable. So the unbelief is that you can come to me with the truth. You can try to convince me. You can put up a chart, give all the facts, all the information. And it says, I still don't believe you. You can give him everything, all the resources that you need. Show him all the scriptures. And it says, I still don't believe you. Please dismiss yourself from my presence. Something similar that happened. You remember when Moses sent out the spies to look at the land where God has for them, the Canaan land. He sent out how many spies? 12, represented from each tribe. They went to the land. They looked at the land. All 12 looked with their own eyes on the land. Now, when they came back, 2 came back with a positive report, and 10 came back with a negative report. 2 says, man, this land, we can take it. Let's go right now, Caleb and Joshua. Let's go right now. We could take it. Oh, they're like, we can take it right now. Let's go. And the 10 says, oh, my God. They're like, you see the giants in that land? They are so large. We are like grasshopper in their sights. Oh, man, you don't want to go there. If I was you, I wouldn't go there. Guess what? The people heard that, and they were... It developed an unbelief in their heart to the point where they cried and they wept and they came against Moses and said, Moses, I don't know if we want you as a leader anymore. So we see unbelief. So we see here that in the Word of God, unbelief has to be dealt with. Now, I didn't get any chance to get into some of the things concerning unbelief. But first of all, I'm going to just read Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6. As a matter of fact, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 3 first, because I believe you need to hear this. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 19. The scripture says, so we see that they could not enter into Canaan because of their unbelief. Time and time again, we see where the supernatural was inhibited, or they could not access the things that God had readily for them because of unbelief. Next week, we're going to talk about the fact that when Jesus went back to his hometown, Nazareth, and when he went back to his hometown, the people remembered Jesus as the carpenter around the block, but they watered him down to the point where they had created an atmosphere of belief. Unbelief, to the point where Jesus could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Well, my time has really kind of come to an end, but I hope you got that. Those are hindrances that we have to remove. We have to remove fear, we have to remove doubt, and we have to remove unbelief. So our prayers will become vibrant and powerful. Amen? Good. Well, what I want to do, I want to pray with you before I leave. But before I leave, I just want to extend an invitation to come and worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. I guarantee your life will never, ever be the same. It's impossible for you to come into the presence of God and leave the same. I also want you to call us at 561-383-6574. Also, go on our website, www.maranathainter.org, and sow into this ministry. We're looking for a building. I want you to sow into this ministry, and I want you to come alongside of us and partner with us. There's someone here that can actually pay this whole time that we have. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you the glory. I declare your word, Lord God, over your people. Father God, you said let the sound of ways, Lord God, Father God, of these words, Lord God, that I've spoken, will just enter into their hearts. We ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus, your grace. We pray, Lord God, for those mothers. We pray, Lord God, for those fathers, those business owners. We pray, Father God, for those people, Lord God, that are desperately seeking you, Lord God. We bless you, Father God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we magnify your holy name for who you are. You're a good God. You're a mighty God. You're an extraordinary God. And we ask, Father God, all these things in Jesus Christ we pray. And every person says, amen. God bless you, and I'll see you next week, is my prayer.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and easy.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
A church of worship, the word.
Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Team Martech, local professionals serving our community. Listen to a financial advisor, local attorney, independent insurance agent, mortgage broker, realtor, and certified public accountant. They discuss issues and answer questions of interest to you. That's Team Martech, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on WCNO.
Kurt Owen Ministries wants to invite you to the 2019 Men's Faith Advance. This year's topic is Speak to the Mountain and will be held at the beautiful Fountain Beach Resort on the Atlantic Ocean in Daytona Beach. You will hear anointed messages from Kurt Owen, Aaron Dirksen, and Patrick Hoteling, along with praise and worship with Charlie Blanc. You owe it to yourself to